Welcome back to Quick Bits. It's April 8th, the day this episode goes live. So don't stare directly into the sun today, folks. And I will see you on the flip side. But we have lots to cover today. Tom Girardi trial date update. Lots going on in Idaho with Koberger's defense attorneys talking to potential jurors. There was a very fiery hearing on that. Alec Murdaugh got sentenced more. And on the podcast this past week, I covered P. Diddy, the raids on his home, and more about the civil lawsuits, and it's time to break it down. So let's get in to the Quick Bits. I'm legal analyst Emily D. Baker. This is the Quick Bits, where I break down just the main points of the pop culture and entertainment cases I'm currently covering on YouTube and the Emily Show podcast. Let's get into it. First of all, Tom Girardi is still slated to face federal trial in Los Angeles, California, but that has been bumped back to August 8th, 2024. All of the parties' prosecution and defense agreed to move the date back, and I'll be keeping an eye on the litigation leading up to that trial. But remember, federal trials are not accessible over the internet, so that might be a little bit of a summer in Los Angeles, or at least in August in Los Angeles, so we'll see what happens as that trial moves forward. But speaking of lawyers who steal money from their clients, Alec Murdaugh was sentenced in federal court for the 22 counts of federal theft from clients, his law firm, and other charges. I've broken those charges down pretty extensively on live stream and on the podcast, but he was sentenced to 40 years and ordered to pay restitution of over $8.7 million. Will that get paid? I don't know. There's been a lot of fighting over where Alec Murdaugh's money is and if there is any left that can be accessed by those he owes money to. What's so interesting about this is we look at a loss amount just under the $10 million range on this particular federal case, and the judge absolutely threw the book at Alec Murdaugh. Prosecutors asked for a maximum of 30 years, and the court departed upwards to give him a longer prison sentence, which particularly in financial crimes is extremely unusual. When you look at a case like Sam Bankman-Fried, who was recently prosecuted for the collapse of FTX, a crypto exchange and cryptocurrency, the loss estimated in that case was over $8 billion with a B dollars, and he was sentenced to 25 years in prison. So to look at a loss amount, which is oftentimes one of the key factors in sentencing on financial crimes, to look at Alec Murdaugh getting 40 years in this case is a very significant and substantial indication of how his breach of trust with his clients is more egregious than other types of financial crimes with large loss amounts. And that 40 years will be served concurrent to his state sentence, which is 27 years on the state sentence for the financial crimes. And of course, he is still serving two life sentences for the murder of his wife and son that he was convicted of on March 2nd, 2023, so just over a year ago. But things that haven't gone to trial yet is Brian Koberger. A lot of litigation happened in a very short period of time on the University of Idaho's murder case with Brian Koberger. The defense had started surveying potential jurors in support of their motion to change venue, which was due to be filed with the court shortly and heard in May by the court. And again, there is no trial date in this case, but the attorneys have all indicated that this case cannot go to trial before the summer of 2025. So this motion with regard to changing venue out of Latah County, perhaps to a larger jurisdiction in Idaho, is over a year ahead of a potential trial date. So the defense was beginning to survey jurors and ask them about what they had heard in this case or what they had been exposed to in news coverage. The prosecution took issue with a number of the questions that were asked and filed a motion with the court prohibiting contact with prospective jurors. The same afternoon, the court granted an order temporarily prohibiting contact with prospective jurors until the court had a chance to hear both the prosecution and defense on the questions that were being asked on the survey because citizens of Latah County had reached out to both law enforcement and the prosecution about the survey questions they were being asked, which included things like, have you heard that Brian Koberger stalked one of the victims? Have you heard that Brian Koberger's DNA was found on a knife sheath? Have you heard that a knife sheath was located on a bed next to one of the victims? Things that have been in the headline, but very specific questions. The prosecution argued that those questions violated the court's non-dissemination order. The defense argued that these are not things that the defense is disclosing, but things that have already been in the media and they are allowed to survey this way. The defense also asked the court to rescind or take back the order prohibiting them from contacting prospective jurors any further. During a very fiery hearing on April 4th, 2024, the court found that the order would not be rescinded, that the court did not violate the defendant's due process, that the hearing was happening to give the defense an opportunity to be heard, and that a further hearing was needed with the defense expert to determine whether or not anything from the survey that was propounded by telephone to over 400 residents of Latah County could be salvaged in any way, or if an entirely new survey would need to be done in Latah County and others to determine what, if any, bias there is amongst the potential jury pool due to the media coverage in this case. So we don't have an answer yet on what the court's going to do, but this will be back in court on April 10th, and I will be streaming that hearing as well. But this hearing was the feistiest that I've seen the attorneys with each other, and Judge John Judge was not happy with the defense motion insinuating that he had violated the defendant's due process rights. He was not happy at all. Finally, on the Emily Show podcast this week, available both on YouTube and on your favorite podcasting app, I covered the raids at Sean Puffy Combs, P. Diddy's mansions in Los Angeles and Miami, the civil lawsuit from Little Rod, and whether or not that civil lawsuit has any impact on the raids and any potential future criminal prosecution. With raids of that large scale, I imagine they were looking for substantial amounts of digital evidence, but also evidence of things complained about in the civil lawsuit, guns, narcotics, and things like that. Of the numerous civil lawsuits facing Sean Combs at this point, the Little Rod lawsuit is the first one that has allegations that are more recent, that are closer in time. Other suits against him have used the New York expanded Victims' Rights Act to allow victims to reach back civilly and sue for things that happened outside of the statute of limitations. And so some of those lawsuits reach into past behavior outside of your criminal statute of limitations. So the Little Rod suit, with all of the photos and the attorneys in that lawsuit, make it very clear that they have videos, photos, and all of the other receipts about this behavior. It also talks about behavior that's alleged against Sean Combs in 2022, 2023. So it is much more recent behavior that could potentially be a very good basis for federal prosecutors to base a search warrant off of, because it is closer in time and within the statute of limitations. It doesn't mean that claims in other lawsuits won't come up. If prosecutors choose to pursue RICO allegations under the Federal Racketeering Act, they can reach back in time to show a pattern of criminal behavior, even if some of those particular alleged crimes are not within the statute of limitations to prosecute the crime on itself. Thank you to today's sponsor, Green Chef. Green Chef is literally the only way I'm eating healthy dinners, and that's because it is so easy. They deliver fresh organic ingredients directly to your door. You can choose from over 80 different recipes per week, and they come with easy to follow picture instructions. It could not be any easier, and meals are ready in just about 30 minutes. But it's not just dinners. You can also pick quick and easy lunches or the egg bites that I love for breakfast. And no matter what you're eating lifestyle, whether it's keto or paleo, vegetarian or vegan, or you're looking for more protein-based meals, or just something that is healthy and balanced, you can find it at Green Chef. It's no wonder that they are the number one meal kit for clean eating and ranked the number one meal kit overall by U.S. News and World Report. So if you are ready to try Green Chef for yourself, go to greenchef.com/EmilyBaker50 and use code EmilyBaker50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your first 2 months. That's greenchef.com/EmilyBaker50 with code EmilyBaker50 for 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Find out for yourself why Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well. Let's get back to today's episode. And that has led to much of the conversation online about whether or not they will be reaching all the way back and raising more questions about other criminal activity that people have alleged that P. Diddy has been involved in, questioned whether P. Diddy has been involved in. And that goes back to the murder of Tupac and beyond into the New York nightclub shooting in 1999 and others, where he's always right there involved, but someone else ends up being the one prosecuted. So more questions are going to be raised all the way back to the 1996 murder of Tupac. And Keefe D, who is currently being prosecuted in Las Vegas for that murder, had said quite a lot about Diddy's involvement in the murder of Tupac, including that Diddy offered Keefe D over $1 million to take out Tupac and Suge Knight. So we're going to be hearing a lot more about what is being dredged up from the past, not just in the realm of criminal allegations against P. Diddy, past arrests, past prosecutions, but also what was happening at his house parties, who was there and knew what was going on, and how much of that might be on film. Each of the civil lawsuits talk about how much he was filming either with or without people's knowledge. And I wonder how many, not just in the music industry, but in Hollywood, are wondering if all of those parties were also recorded. It's going to be very interesting to see if there is an indictment and when, what those charges are, and if and when P. Diddy will be arrested on an indictment. But what we do know is at this point, these are allegations and no charges have been filed. He has not been arrested. There is footage on the internet already saying that it is his arrest. Those are all altered images. Some of them are AI generated. And remember, there are also older images of past arrests for other things. So be mindful, because I'm seeing quite a lot of that surrounding this case with altered video and information that is not entirely accurate. So I think because there is so much interest in this story, there is always a concern about whether or not the information that we are seeing, especially quick and short information on social media, is accurate. So if that's something that you're worried about, be sure to download the Law & Nerd app, because I will be keeping you in the loop with all of the things that are going on. It is where I post quick updates about cases first. It's where I let you know when I'm streaming. And as things go down, it's where I will be telling you not just what's happening, but what I think about it. So we will be breaking it all down, not just here on the Quick Bits, on the streaming channel, and on the Law & Nerd app. And with that, all right, we're getting into April, guys. Have a good eclipse day, and I will talk to you in the next one. You can stay up to date with everything I'm covering on our free iOS and Android app at lawnerdapp.com, or search your app store for Law Nerd. And you can also follow me on social media at The Emily D. Baker. Remember, I stream on YouTube on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I recap all of that for you in Quick Bits on Monday. And of course, The Emily Show drops on Wednesdays. Thanks for being a Law Nerd.